بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We seek Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whoever has been guided by Allah, none can misguide. And whoever has been misguided by Allah, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. I further bear witness that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah the Exalted bestow His peace and blessings on the final and last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the believers of his family and upon all of his noble companions. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O who you believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam as Muslims with complete submission to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord Allah, who created you from a single person, Adam. And from him, Adam, he created his wife. And from them both, he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. And don't cut the relations of the wombs, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and ask always the truth and say always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds. Not only that, and He will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great success. Amma ba'd, it proceeds then that in فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدْيِ هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا, and that the worst of evils are innovations which are foreign to the true teachings of Islam. وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ, and every innovative method in Islam is a bid'ah, is innovation. And every bid'ah, and every innovative matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire of hell. A blessed month is coming. Islam is the deen of nourishment, of faculties. And every worship in Islam has a wisdom to it, or even wisdoms. Some of it apparent by texts or by the intellect. And it may not be clear to some of these wisdoms may not be clear to some, but may be clear to others from the people of knowledge. And that's why we are commanded to ask the people of knowledge in that which we don't know of. And the collective wisdom in warships, all are directed to the purification of the soul, purifying it from its defects. And for every worship in Islam done in the legal way has its influence on the self, but that differs in accordance with the degree of attachment of the worshippers. And when worships do not influence the soul, man's actions, then such worship is like a body without a soul. Certainly, fasting is one of the great worships in Islam, and many are the wisdoms of fasting. Many are clear, and many are known to some, but not to others. And that the master of months is the month of Ramadan, and it is the school for the believers, a school nourishing the heart as well as the tongue and the limbs. Certainly and without a doubt that the fasting of this month, in accordance with the way prescribed, will give its fruits. These fruits can be summarized as follows: firmness on the truth, increase in faith, strength in certainty, establishment of good manners, and the exertion of the actions of the heart from fear, hope, love, and longing. The blessings of this month are diverse, and it reflects on the creed of the Muslim and his manners, and it's a means of protection from deviation. In it, the Muslim tries to fulfill the rights of Allah upon him, as well as the rights of others, as well as the rights of mankind, in order to perfect his true slavery. This is coming month of Ramadan, the month of fasting. What is fasting? Linguistically, as-siyam or fasting means al-insak, restraining. From that is the saying of Allah concerning Maryam, Mary, alayha salam, in verse 26 of Surah Maryam. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. So eat and drink and be glad. And if you see any human being, say, verily I am vowed a fast, صَوْمًا, unto the beneficent, so I shall not speak to any human being this day. So she vowed a fast not to speak. This is restrainment. This is the linguistic meaning. The legal meaning is the worship of Allah by restraining from taking all things that nullify the fasting from the time of Fajr until sunset. This is the Islamic or legal meaning of fasting. Now, the question is, what is its ruling? What is its ruling? The Siyam of Shahr Ramadan, the fasting of the month of Ramadan, is mandatory, is obligatory. By textual proofs from the Quran and Sunnah, as well as the general consensus of the Muslims. This is clearly evident in the Quran in chapter 2, verses 183, 184, and 185. Allah Ta'ala, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Oh, who you believe, observing if any of you is ill or in a journey, then the same number should be made up from other days. And so for those who can fast with difficulty, except example the old man, etc., they have a choice of either fast or to feed a miskin, a poor for every day. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him. And that you fast, it is better for you if only you know. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criteria between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must observe fasting. And whoever is ill or on a journey, in the same number of days, which one did not observe fasting must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, and that you must magnify Allah for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. This is from the Quran about its obligation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bunya al-Islamu ala khams." Islam is founded upon five pillars: Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the testimony that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah; wa iqam al-salah, the establishment of salah; wa ita al-zakah, and paying the due charity; وَصَوْمُ رَمَضَانَ, and this is the point of evidence, وَصَوْمُ رَمَضَانَ, pilgrimage to the sanctified, inviolable house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَصُومُوا, if you see it, meaning the crescent of the month of Ramadan, then fast. These are the textual proofs from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And the Muslims, the general consensus of the Muslims, that the fasting of the month of Ramadan is an obligatory worship, and that it is one of the pillars of Islam. Anyone who denies its obligation, becomes a kafir unless he lives in a remote place whereby he doesn't know anything about the rulings of Islam. Then he is to be taught. If reached, he is to be taught. And if he then insists, after the proof is established upon him, then he is a kafir or commits kufr. And anyone who abandons the fasting due to laziness, however, he testifies for its obligation, then he is on a grave danger. Since some of the scholars of Islam see that he is an upstate kafir. However, the preponderating opinion is that he is not apostate kafir, rather he is a rebellion fasiq, but he is on a grave danger. This is the ruling concerning the fasting of Ramadan. Now, when it was ordained, the obligation or the command concerning the fasting of the month of Ramadan was in the second year after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was in the second year after Hijrah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted 9 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted 9 years, and the ordainment of fasting was on two stages. The ordainment of fasting was on two stages. The first stage, giving a choice between fasting and feeding. However, giving preference over feeding. This is the first stage. Giving a choice between fasting and feeding, with preference for fasting over feeding. The second stage, assigning fasting without a choice. Assigning the fasting without any other alternative, without any other choice. This came in the verses 183, 185. When we recited them, did you notice that there was the verse about feeding, and then فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number of days should be made up for those other days which he broke the fast. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, they have a choice either to fast or to feed a poor for every day. Then that was abrogated by verse 185. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whoever of you sights the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must observe fasting that month. Now, what is the wisdom behind the fasting? If we read these verses here, earlier verses, the verse 183 to 183, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or who you believe, observing fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become pious. Here, from this verse, we know the wisdom behind the obligation of fasting, and that is attaining taqwa and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is to abandon what is unlawful. And when it's generalized, it encompasses the execution of what is commanded and the abandonment of what is prohibited. And therefore, this asserts that the believer, upon fasting, should comply with the ordinances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abandoning the unlawful of sayings and actions, no backbiting, no lying, no spreading of mischief, no selling of unlawful, all the forbidden matters. And if the person does this in a period of 1 month, then his self will become upright and will train on uprightness for the rest of the year. However, unfortunately, many of those who fast, they don't differentiate between their day of fasting and their regular days of no fasting. They take it like a habit, and you don't feel that they have been influenced by the fasting. And of course, there are those who fast the entire month with little benefit, such that by the time the month is over, you find them returning to their quote-unquote normal state. The wisdom that the fasting was in Ramadan, this came in the previous verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted that this is the month in which the Quran was sent. And this is far greater than descending in its magnitude, than descending of rain. Because the Ummah cannot be upright and established on the deen except with this type of worship in this specific month. In this month, there is a testing of the truth of intention and of compliance. Is the person going to comply, or he will continue to comply with that which agrees with his own self and desires? Or he will transcend that and comply to that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. If we examine the five obligatory types of worship, we will find that some of them are purely physical, and some of them are purely financial. These purely financial will distinguish the miser from the generous. To some people, it is easier to pray 1,000 rak'ah and not spend one single part of a currency. And the opposite, some people, it's easier for them to spend the thousands of currency but not praying one single rak'ah. So that's why the Sharia came with this division and diversity, in order to know who will be in compliance with the worship of Allah and who will be a follower of his own desires. Salah, for example, is purely physical worship, sayings and actions. There is no spending of wealth in it. Zakah, on the other hand, is a spending of wealth purely. And wealth is beloved to man, and it's from man's nature, the attachment to wealth. قال الله تعالى إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد. Meaning that man naturally covets wealth intensely, and the exertion or the giving of what is beloved does not take place except with truthful intention and faith that this thing being given, which is beloved, is given to attain that which is more beloved, and that is the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to attain His noble abode, the paradise. And since zakah is the giving of something intensely beloved to man, Allah lightened its conditions from that, for example, that it will take place only once in a year, the giving of the dutiful charity. Secondly, that it is due on certain particular types of wealth, because we know not every type of wealth is to be covered by the zakah laws, or zakah is applicable on it. Thirdly, there is also a specified amount of the entire wealth to be given in charity, like 1/4 of a tenth, or 1/2 of a tenth, or the tenth, depending on the type of wealth. Now, first thing, in it there is testing. And this is the restrainment of something beloved. And it is really intense. So, the believer restrains from the desire for food, the desire for drinks, the desire for legal sexual intercourse, and it occurs during a working hours. It's not specified to the night. So the testing during the day is a clear test. So therefore he abandons his lusts, relinquishes them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he is to be beaten so as to eat one single date, or a drink, a glass of water, he wouldn't. And that's why they learned the scholars of Islam said, may Allah's mercy be upon them, said, الصوم سر بين العبد وبين ربه. Fasting is a secret between the slave and his Lord. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it special amongst the rest of deeds, where he said, Allah said in the authentic hadith, كل عمل ابن آدم له الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف. All the deeds of Adam's children belong to them, except the fasting, which belongs to me. إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. Except fasting, which belongs to me, and I will reward it. Fasting is a shield against hell and sins. If one of you happen to be fasting, he should avoid sexual relations with his wife and should avoid quarreling. Should someone fight or quarrel with him, let him say, I am fasting. By him in whose hand my soul is, the smell of the month of a fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than that of the musk. That's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. He who doesn't give up forced speech and evil actions, Allah needs not his restraining from acting and drinking, from eating and drinking. So, clear wisdom, achieving piety and righteousness. Take for example the worship of Hajj, pilgrimage. Purely physical. And whatever he spends on his Hajj journey and the like is related to the fact that it is purely physical. Because this wealth he's spending is to bring him physically to there in order to perform the rituals. And take for example the jihad. It is composed of worship, striving through the physical as well as striving in wealth. And it may be done physically independent of wealth, and it may be done with wealth alone. The point here in mentioning these things is that if you comprehend the Sharia and the legislations, you will find them utmost in wisdom and in agreement with that which is beneficial to man. Why the month of Ramadan is called Ramadan? It is named Ramadan since it coincided to a time where the sun baked the ground because of heat. And this is called Ramda. So it was given the name at the time where the names were given to the months, since at that time it coincided with this timing of intense heat where the sun baked the ground. And this is known in Arabic Ar-Ramda. So it was fitting to that time where the Ramda takes place. And that's why the month was named Ramadan, from Ramda. This brings to an end this introduction on the fasting. And inshallah tomorrow, we will explain the goals of fasting and the virtues of fasting, inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who will attain the month of Ramadan and will fast it in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him to make it an expiation for our sins and to make us better Muslims and better believers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.